From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
You've probably heard of edible arrangements, right? They're the pioneers of arrangements that are edible. Big bouquets of fruit, platters of thoughtfully arranged chocolate-dipped strawberries, and so on. Who hasn't gotten one of those as a gift before, right? And, you know, this company pretty much defined the word edible for 2 decades. In fact, in 2012, the company trademarked just the word edible and had a vision of changing its stores to be called edible. And then this other thing came along that started to be known widely as edibles, and it was not the innocent chocolate-covered strawberries.
I've done a lot of drugs in my life.
Right.
The most, like, negative drug experiences I've ever had in my life are from weed edibles.
That is noted marijuana lover Seth Rogen on the Howard Stern Show, and there he is using the word edibles. It's the catch-all word for something you eat that has weed in it. So you can imagine how the founder of Edible Arrangements felt when he realized this cultural change was happening.
Here's a brand we've spent 20 years building, or a name we've spent millions and millions of dollars building, and suddenly people may know of this or associate it with marijuana. So it was just the fear. And I had never done marijuana, but didn't want anything to do with it.
That is Tariq.
Tariq Farid, CEO and founder of Edible Arrangements.
And what exactly is Tariq supposed to do in this situation, right? I mean, he'd spent decades building this brand and basically owning this word, and it's not like some company had come along and stolen it from him. If that was the case, he could just do what companies do, hire a lawyer, have a big court battle, and defend his intellectual property. But this is the culture. This is people like Seth Rogen and Howard Stern using the word edibles to mean pot. What are you going to do about that? Tariq didn't know, but he felt very strongly at first.
We can't let it happen. We have to do something about it.
He was going to go up against cultural forces. He was going to fight this thing and protect his brand. But a funny thing happened along the way. As he fought it, someone told him something that changed his perspective completely. And he went from fighting this change to embracing it. On this episode of Problem Solvers, we are going to hear the story of how Edible Arrangements came to evolve on the word edibles. And bigger picture, we're going to explore what to do when the ground beneath your feet suddenly shifts. Do you dig in your heels or do you jump? It's all coming up right after the break. There's a reason why active investors will often put their money into property. It can be a really strong investment with returns that beat the market. But of course, the average person in the past couldn't actually become an investor and part owner in real estate because of the very strict rules about who is and isn't an accredited investor. But that has now changed. You can now co-own apartment complexes with investment minimums starting under $1,000 when you invest with DiversiFund. The investment process only takes 10 minutes. DiversiFund manages each real estate deal from start to finish, cutting out the middlemen typically involved in the process, which allows them to cut all the platform and management fees commonly charged to investors, meaning you could get an even higher return. When you invest in commercial real estate, you're diversifying your portfolio and guarding against the volatility of the stock market. So take a look at what DiversiFund has to offer and how they can get you in on the action. Visit diversifund.com/entrepreneur. That's DiversiFund.com/entrepreneur. All right, we're back. So before we get into the battle of edibles, let's talk about how Tariq first came to use the word edibles. It was back when he was a guy who owned a few flower shops.
Well, it's actually a great story. When we started out in, it was about 1997, we started to make these fruit arrangements in one of our flower shops and sending it out to friends and everything. And we were thinking about the name, and we're going around with all different names. And the original one that we came up with was Delicious Design. And on that Delicious Designs, we needed a tagline. And when we're sitting there and talking about what the tagline needs to be, one of the people kind of blurbs out, it's like the edible arrangement.
Tariq was like, yes, awesome. The word arrangement was familiar in the flower industry, so this was a kind of extension of that. He quickly ran to the computer and searched online to see if anyone was using the phrase, and he couldn't find anything. So everyone there decides, this is it. edible arrangement way better than Delicious Designs. And they run with it. The concept, of course, takes off, and Tadek starts growing edible arrangements into a brand of its own. Over the course of time, he finds that customers are just shortening the name to refer to it as edible, and so he follows suit and trademarks the word and prepares to shorten the name of his stores to edible as well. Now, starting in around 2010 or so, Tadek also starts hearing that the word edible is being used by cannabis users. But he didn't think much of it. It was a niche thing, it was illegal, and it was totally outside the world he operated in. So no problem. But then, in 2016, California passes Proposition 64, known as the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, and the word edible is right there in the bill. And Tadek sees this and thinks, oh no.
That's when it really hit the radar, more from a threat.
And he also thinks, this is just bad. Because, as Tadek said, he's never tried marijuana, and his impression of it was that it was a bad influence. And now here comes this legalization effort, and the text of the bill specifically endorses edibles, which could be, you know, candy infused with weed, and he starts to get kind of moralistic about it.
Should we as citizens and parents and everyone be doing this, looking at a product when we've gone through this whole smoking Joe the Camel type of a phenomenon, that do we really want to be calling a controlled substance when it's put into food, edible?
So he's thinking about this and thinking about this and is one day at home talking to his wife, and they both agree, we've got to do something about this. But Tadek doesn't know where to start. I mean, where do you start on something like this? So he calls his lawyer. They talk about what might be possible, and then he starts to engage a lobbying effort, reaching out to lawmakers, and he starts talking internally at Edible Arrangements about how to get ahead of this thing, whatever that would even mean. Marketing? Messaging? And I have to say, as Tadek was telling me this, it reminded me a lot of the panic happening in the meat and dairy industry right now. You know, those are industries all trying to pass laws that limit the use of words like burger and milk, so that, for example, Beyond Meat couldn't say that it's selling a burger, and oat milk would have to be called oat drink, I guess. I don't know. And for whatever it's worth, speaking personally, I think that this burger and milk stuff is absolutely ridiculous. It is protectionism, and it's ugly, and laws should not be passed for the sole purpose of protecting one company or industry from competition. From an economic standpoint, that is a way to screw up the free market. And from an entrepreneurship standpoint, that tells me that a company or industry just doesn't believe in its own product. Because instead of innovating or being willing to understand a changing marketplace, they try to lock their advantage in by law. And if you're interested in hearing more about this, I have a suggestion for you. I host another podcast called Pessimists Archive, and I did an episode not long ago about margarine. The title of the episode is literally just margarine. It is the insane tale of how the butter industry managed to demonize margarine and pass laws that hiked tax on margarine, and some states actually mandated that it be dyed black or pink. And what was the result of this? Well, people wanted their margarine. And in fact, margarine sales surpassed butter sales for many, many decades. So again, that's the podcast Pessimists Archive. And the big lesson is, protectionism, bad. And with that, let's check back in on Tadek's own efforts at protectionism, because they wouldn't last long.
When you're talking to a congressman or you're talking to officials and lobbyists and others, they're seeing the momentum on the other side, how much money is being spent in legalizing it, the type of money being made in the legalization of it and everything. And here's a little guy that owns a small little fruit business who's telling people that this is crazy, you can't be doing this, where I think there was this moment where somebody said, well, you know, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as a tsunami, and if it's a tsunami, get out of the way. Or you can look at it as really nice wave. Go get your surfboard out. And for me, that was kind of the aha moment that I may be fighting a really uphill battle. What's the alternative?
This really stuck with him. The idea of the tsunami or the wave. Is he dealing with something that is just way beyond his control, or is he actually missing an opportunity that he can control? And that is what we're going to explore next, how to ride the wave. But first, a quick break. You know how the simplest things are often the most overlooked? I have talked to so many entrepreneurs who ran into problems because they didn't know their numbers. They didn't have a clear picture of their finances, which is, you know, pretty much top priority if you're running a business, but we get busy. Numbers are hard to track. Bad things happen. And that's what NetSuite by Oracle is designed to solve. Serious entrepreneurs and finance teams run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances, all in one place, in real time, right from your phone or desktop. So that means no more guessing and no worries that you don't know where the problem is. As a result, NetSuite has found that its customers grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500. So ready to check it out? To schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide on 7 key strategies to grow your profits, go to netsuite.com/problem solvers. Again, set up your free demo and get your free guide today at netsuite.com/problem solvers. netsuite.com/problem solvers. And now, our next sponsor. It's December already, which means holidays and end-of-year fun. But it also means, oh no, there is a whole ton of stuff left to do this year and not a lot of time to do it. And if life insurance is one of those things on your list, well, I have got good news. Policy Genius can help you cross it off. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. And you'll also save time. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. And then, once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and red tape. Also, Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy, they can also help you find the right home insurance and auto insurance or disability insurance. So, if you need life insurance but aren't sure where to start, why not start at policygenius.com? It only takes a few minutes to find the right life insurance policy, apply, and cross another thing off your December to-do list. Policy Genius. When it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right. All right, we're back. So, as you'll recall, Tadek was faced with a question. Do you want to fight the tsunami or do you want to ride the wave? And he realizes that, yeah, he is not equipped to fight a tsunami, but he isn't exactly sure what the alternative looks like.
And so at that point, kind of the mindset changed that I have to figure out how to ride this wave if I want to ride it. I have to look at it differently on how to participate. That's the first thing that happened. And that realization was very important for me. I think from then on, the conversation totally changed from mostly fighting it to see what is this and what's the opportunity. And I spent the next year just educating myself.
By the way, Tadek and I must have had a bad internet connection when we talked because, as you may hear, there's kind of clicking noises from time to time. So apologies for that. Anyway, around 2017, Tadek starts his education. I asked him if he'd assigned some member of his team to do this, and he said no. First, it really had to be him educating himself. For example, he got subscriptions to a ton of different cannabis magazines, which just started showing up at his home all the time.
So if somebody was looking at it, they would think that I'm a very dedicated user and a fan.
He went out to Colorado to visit production facilities and talk to experts in the industry to understand the state-by-state dynamics. And through all of this, he discovered something that maybe any casual consumer today is at least vaguely aware of. And that is that there are really 2 different ways to engage with this world of products. There is, of course, all the stuff that gets you high. And then there's CBD and related products that don't get you high and are really part of the wellness industry. Tadek remembers talking to a friend who said his mom uses CBD.
And for me, that word mom was like, oh.
Because moms are like the safest consumers. And also because Tadek had this very clear memory of showing his own mom his original edible arrangement idea decades ago and her saying that this was going to be huge. So here it was again, the wisdom of moms. After about a year, Tadek felt convinced that he could do something here. His company, Edibles, can create, you know, edibles. But instead of making the stuff that gets people high, it'll be edible CBD. And their entire focus will be on health. So he hired a team. They started looking for how to build this thing out. They contacted a lot of partners and looked at existing products on the market. And this is a few years ago before the massive explosion in CBD products. So what they found was more limited to oils and stuff like that. So the edible arrangements team decides to start building something from scratch. They plant about 40 acres of hemp and partner with the University of Connecticut because the university had done a lot of research on the plant. And they started to create this CBD powder that could be added to food. And now they had an even bigger question to answer. How would they sell this stuff and under what name? On this, Tadek felt very strongly.
From the beginning, there was no doubt that this is going to be a separate brand.
the CBD stuff wouldn't just be slotted into edible arrangement stuff just as one other product. Because, you know, the thing is, edible arrangement stores are really gifting stores, or I should say edible stores, because they rebranded. You come to find, you know, the gift you want to give. And that's not really the way people are shopping for CBD. So they decide to give this new line of business a related but new name. They call it Incredible Edibles. And Incredible Edibles will be a brand of products, but also its own kind of store.
It's a CBD experience. And I don't want to just say CBD because we'll have many other things in it. CBD is just one item right now. It's a hemp base, but it's a more of a juice bar, a yogurt place, a smoothie. And then also you can make a gift pack, take a gift pack. So it's a retail experience within that space that we will replicate using either the franchise model or some other model opening multiple locations.
And there, customers will find products that Tadek's company makes, as well as others that they've sourced or curated. The first store opens on January 15th of 2020, and it'll be in New Haven, Connecticut. The Edible Arrangements headquarters is actually down in Atlanta now, and they'll eventually open an Incredible Edibles down there too. But Tadek wanted to start in Connecticut because that's where his very first Edible Arrangements opened. He wanted to start where he started. So at this point, of course, it remains to be seen exactly how Incredible Edibles will be. But no matter the outcome, I think it's fair to say that Tadek has given himself a better chance at success this way. I mean, remember where his journey started. He was freaked out that he'd lost control of the word edibles, and he thought the solution was to find a way to literally stop the blossoming multi-billion dollar world of cannabis and all of its users and fans from using this word. And that turned out to be an enormous waste of time. But then he discovered the important lesson. You can resist change, or you can use it to your advantage. So he chose to use it to his advantage. And it really is the natural and only choice there. Because really, who wants to stand in front of a tsunami as it collapses on them? You might as well get out a surfboard and ride that wave.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.